Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'd like to begin by saying, F*** Lance Armstrong. F*** him and his balls and his bicycles and his steroids and his yellow shirts and the dumb, empty expression on his face. I'm tired of that a**hole. And while you're at it, F*** Tiger Woods, too. There's another I can do without. I'm tired of being told who to admire in this country. Aren't you sick of being told who your heroes ought to be? No. Being told who you ought to be looking up to. I'll choose my own heroes, thank you very much. And f*** Dr. Phil, too. Dr. Phil said I should express my emotions, so that's what I'm doing.
The Don and Mike Show.
We're going to dance.
There you go.
We're going to dance.
Oh, Robbie, we got the rejoiner things in there?
And have some fun.
Well, Rob's not in here, so let's just say...
Cut the jibber jabber.
Jibber jabber.
Hey, you know something? No, what?
Dang.
I had a dream last night.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's right.
There
Thank
is.
You.
Any idea where that thing is?
Like a chocolate pie a mile wide.
Come on.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hot as balls. The Don and Mike Show.
I like that one better.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Hi, yeah, I was calling for the last segment about what Mike was talking about, the calling thing about the campaign. Well, I did one for Hillary Clinton. The thing was that...
No, may I say, no surprise there.
Well, the thing was that when I called, there was an old guy. He was like, you know, I was the sixth caller. And then the thing was that the lady had already passed away. But then all we kept on getting was that, you know, the spouse. So then he got mad at me and he took...
Hard to believe.
I will never make a political call again.
Did the campaign ask you to do this, or did you just do this of your own free will?
Well, I did it on my own free will. I was a volunteer.
But were you a volunteer like Mike, where they said to you, call these people, or are you just, like, calling people yourself?
I went to one of the volunteer place, and they gave us, like, a whole list.
This could be the problem.
I will never do it again. As long
My
as
God.
I live.
Don't quit.
If they're letting guys...
Now,
like...
this is your typical Hillary caller here. you know, so I think it's very...
Okay.
I'm just having a little fun, folks.
You just can't take your foot off the gas, can you? You know what I mean?
What am I supposed to do with this guy?
I really don't even give a rat's ass at this point anymore. Why don't you just, let's just pile on the caller rather than you know, worry about... You know,
well, he happened to, hey, he just happened to mention... And who he was calling for. I would not want to be on the receiving end of one of those calls.
And I'm sure there are no dumb people out there who vote for Barack Obama, or dumb people who make calls on his behalf. Oops. I didn't mean you. I meant Mike.
You looked so gay when you did that. You kind of put your hand up to your chin and you went, oops.
No.
Oh, did I offend you? Did I put you down?
Yeah, that was almost a...
oh, my God.
What's the Mike Myers we used to dress in black?
Blumenschanz.
Sprockets.
Yeah, whatever the guy's name
but
was.
No, yeah, you're right.
Dieter.
Very gay of me.
I am Dieter. No, I just, I don't think, I think there's certain people that should not be allowed to call for any campaign.
Yeah.
Absolutely right there. Sir, never call on behalf of anyone.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hi, this is Joe.
This is Don and Mike. Who is this?
This is Super Chalk, Larry Lojack.
All right, Larry Lojack.
That's a nickname, technically, even though he's not Super Jack.
Lojack's been put out of business, right? By things like OnStar now, right? And everybody with GPS.
I think they still have it. They still have Lojack. You still get it.
Yeah. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
I just want to say thank you, Don, for doing what you have for the past couple of years. And
just say, Let's handle it like this. Thank you for your service to our country.
Like Mr. Liddy used to be.
I would appreciate that.
It's the best way to say it.
All right, all right. Thank all you. Right. I'm going to go join the Human Shield.
As a matter of fact, we're talking about the transition here. What you say is when you say, Don, thank you for your service to our country. And, Mike, it's an honor and privilege to talk with you. I think that'll be the perfect transition.
Is that too much to ask for?
I think that'll make it go as smoothly as possible.
Yeah. And Buzz, make it ditto.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello.
Oh, someone was afeared.
Died on the vine. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Oh, Cal Darnell. How about that Brett Favre, huh? Cripes. I can't believe it.
When did you turn into the show? Or when did you tune into the show? I'm sorry to give it a car reference.
I bet you thought that's what we'd be doing today, right?
Oh, would I miss the boat now or what? Two or three times I turn the show on late and I'm some sort of pariah, huh?
Now, listen, let me ask you a question. When you turned the show on, how soon after you turned the show on did you call? Or did you call and then turn the show on?
Oh, cripes, I don't know.
No, yes, you do know, so don't lie about that.
He's committed to this bad voice, though.
Damn right.
Yeah, you can use the bad voice. I'm asking you to be honest. You know, when did you call in? Did you call in and then turn the radio on, or did you listen to the radio for maybe 5 minutes?
I don't know.
My friend, I wish we had more time for this conversation, but it's time for us to take a break for local news and weather.
Okay.
We're not going to say mean things to you like you're a mongoloid. You should never call again. We're simply going to just kind of fade out on your phone call now.
But first, this is Today on NBC. But
Don?
I thought we were turning this guy down.
Let's
turn this guy's phone down now.
Thanks a lot for your call. We appreciate it. But first, this is Today on NBC.
Susan Sarandon. That back must hurt, carrying around those milk jugs. She'll join us. But first, is this it? Here's your local weather.
There you go. Thank you.
We got it. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Can I talk to Don and Mike?
Oh, you're talking to us, but turn that radio down, please.
Oh, it was next door. I'm at a stoplight.
Hold on. What was that, Witchy Poo?
I want to talk to Don and Mike. Is this Don and Mike?
Yes, Witchy Poo. What did you say about a storm?
Or a stoplight? No, people right next door to me. They're parked their cars next to me at the stoplight, and they got their radio blasting. So I put the window up.
What can we do for you?
Well, thank you. Hi.
Anyway, I want to have Don's job when he leaves. Who's going to replace him?
Danny Bonaducci is.
No.
No, ma'am, yes. It's been an honor and a privilege, and I hope you will continue to honor and privilege and serve Mike.
Yes, now fly away. Fly away home.
Bye-bye now. This makes it awkward for all of us.
It does.
Come now. Get to the Emerald City.
Please stop.
You cow.
Stop or else, you know, I just won't come in one day. just stop it, please.
Yes.
Stop all this.
Please stop.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, listen, as an old Packer fan, when you're talking about Hillary's legs, her legs got to look like John Brockington from the old days.
Number 42. Great, great runner with the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, but I think the biggest legs and thighs are Earl Campbell.
Now, the biggest legs and thighs would be Vasily Alexiev. Do you remember that name from the Olympics of old? The old weightlifter. The guy with the massive stomach that used to, he had huge, massive legs. And he had the quadriceps would, like, hang over his knee.
I don't retain that stuff, but, like, football players, I'm like Rain Man. Hi, Robbie.
Doesn't Madeleine Albright profess to, like, leg press 400 pounds?
She's got very strong legs. She has to be on her feet all the time.
That's a total urban legend. Didn't we already have a discussion about this one time that it's almost...
But wouldn't you like to see her leg wrestling Hillary Clinton?
Because of the amount that she weighs and her size, didn't we have this discussion? It would be impossible for her to do a leg press.
Well, you joke about it,
pounds.
But on a serious note, think about these women. How much time, literally, they are on their feet all day, and they're in heels. I would say that they have strong calf muscles.
Ah, but there's no point in my putting shoes on third. I never wear shoes because they make me fall down.
Right.
Fall down.
And what about that lady who's always in the front row at the press conferences?
I know who you're
Helen
talking
Thomas.
About.
Helen Thomas.
Helen Thomas.
Now, that'd be a good three-way wrestling
Janet
match.
Reno, don't leave her out.
Thick calves.
Yeah,
but shaky calves.
Reno makes Hillary look like Hillary Swank, Hillary Duff.
Yeah, well, she's Reno's also got a better jump shot.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Powerful leg.
Great blocker.
Reno's got some wicked jock itch, though.
Oh, sure.
Janet Reno.
Well, she's out of the public eye now, though, so she's not there. She can treat it now.
Reno for tough acting tonight.
She has the time to soak.
Scabies. What? I thought it was scabies.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, I wondered if in all your wonderful years of radio, have either of you had the privilege of having to spin the Sugar Hill Gang's unedited entire version of Rapper's Delight?
What, the one that's got like F or something in it? I don't know, maybe. Why?
It's like eight minutes long.
Why?
Why do you ask?
Why?
You know, it's just a great song. And
Why?
Explain yourself.
No explanation, really.
Damn right.
Okay, there you go. Larry said it.
Is damn that the right one with the peas that taste like wood?
Yep. Uh-huh. And I shoot my sperm like Superman.
I've seen that record.
It's
I don't think.
It's only 7:11.
Hello, Don and Mike show. It's only 7 minutes, 11 seconds long. Great. Right. Put it on a cassette for me so I can listen to it on the way home.
Fly away home.
Even better,
hey, Don.
Put on an 8-track for me, please.
Done.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Good job.
Hey, Don.
We're all here. Hi.
Hey, when you retire to Sacramento, you want to come on right along with me? I'm a cop out here.
Let's stop giving away these secrets now.
Yes, and you'll listen to Rapper's Delight the whole time.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Did you see the Redskins signed Melinda Doolittle as linebacker today?
You know, I've always wanted them to have a linebacker who could sing.
Well, we do have the news about that guy from that you're crazy about, Mike. David Hernandez. Yes.
David Hernandez, the the guy that was the male nude dancer.
Yeah. David Hernandez once entertained audiences by removing his clothes instead of singing. Who knew that this kid is 24? He once worked as a stripper at Dick's Cabaret, appearing fully nude and performing lap dances for the club's mostly male clientele.
Interesting the way they say mostly male.
It's not clear whether a history as a stripper can disqualify him from the competition. Then they go on to think about Frenchie Davis and somebody else on the show. And let me see. There are all kinds of pictures of him on the web.
Yes, there are.
Like with his shirt off.
Yeah, with creepy looking like punk rock lovers.
And he's got the Chippendales tie, too, where he's got the bow tie around his neck.
Mm-hmm. He also worked at the gay nightclub Burn. He was a bartender there. It's like moths to a flame. That's from voteforthewors.com. All right. Voteforthewors.com has thrown their support behind him now since he's got this scandal. Voteforthewors.com.
Yeah, but he's a good singer, though. Not a bad singer, and he was good last week.
However, this is a curveball for American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
A known queer. You're going to get.
Haven't they had obviously gay contestants before?
That, you know how they treated Clay Aiken? The same way that everybody treated Jim Nabors.
Yeah, you're right about that. They never came out and said it. Uh-huh. Not that they would anyway, but, you know.
And they can't get rid of him because he's gay.
Of course not.
But because
what
he's
about
gay,
little Danny Noriega? Little Danny Noriega is obviously gay.
What, Robbie?
Do you remember, I believe it was last year, he was a teacher, he was a black guy, great singer with big dreadlocks.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. It came out that he was surfing for a male lover on a website. But they never addressed that on the air. I think the concern here is the stripper angle. Because remember, they kicked Frenchie off. Because
she was a stripper. She wasn't a stripper,
right?
No,
it was just posed for a magazine.
Oh, okay, all right.
But then last year there was Antonella Barba, who was incredibly boxed.
But she actually had just
your mind on this topic.
Yeah, well, I liked Antonella Barba.
She was hot.
She was.
Anyway, there are these pictures, and now voteforthewors.com has said, we got to save this guy because technically they can't kick him off for being gay. Even if there are these pictures out there, they might try to get him on the stripper angle. Mm-hmm. But their concern is that middle America, you know, Columbus, Ohio, speaking of Ohio, that it's not going to play well there, and that once they get word, they're going to vote him off the show immediately.
Do they sign any kind of morality clause in their contract when they go on that show? I mean, I know that. I thought that the Frenchie, was that phone sex or something? Or was it just?
I think it was modeling. Wasn't it nude modeling?
Was it nude modeling?
I think so. And by now, they certainly have some. Don't they have Jim Rockford or some private dick that looks into the background of all these people?
They vet these guys out, but I would think that. I would think he might be free and clear if he just worked at a club, if he was a dancer. I don't think that would be that big a deal.
Well, I don't know.
And I think he's just dreamy.
It's Dick's Cabaret.
Dick's. That's right, Dick.
And I love the part where it says he appeared fully nude, as if there's any other way, and performed lap dances for the club's male clientele.
Well, you and I remember Club Wet, that's for sure. That's probably a... Do you think he was wearing his tube socks when he did that?
Oh, I forgot.
That was burned into my memory. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
That's one of the best bets you ever had to pay off.
That was...
yes, it is.
That was a little bit difficult.
Mike had to go to a gay bar. We all went with him.
Right.
But Mike... But Mike had to.
We really had to twist your arm.
Didn't want.
Mike had to wear a leather vest, shirtless with a leather vest, and sit at the gay bar by himself.
Right.
Where all of the nude, nearly nude gay bartenders.
They brought them in early that night.
Were like swinging their stuff right in Mike's face.
They walked across the bar with their tube socks on.
What a great moment!
And stood over me the whole time.
Unless they were showering.
That's my favorite quote.
All right, Rob said, here we go, from Gordy Bryan, who's the manager at Dick's Cabaret.
Oh, good.
They asked him about this cat today, and they said he had the look and the type that men like. He made good money working for me.
He made good money. Hey, Gordy.
He's a good earner.
Gordy.
Today. Garbage. The garbage cans.
Yeah, he had the look that men like. He made good money.
Yeah.
You also have your, top 10 metrosexuals. Ryan Seacrest, of course.
All right.
David Beckham.
Yeah.
Sure. Ryan Seacrest, yes, Johnny Depp. Hugh Jackman. Jake Gyllenhaal. Ashton Kutcher.
Of course.
Gummy Bear.
Nope, he ain't on there, Mike.
Gummy Bear's not on the list?
Not on the list.
That's not fair.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Afternoon.
Hi. Afternoon.
I was listening to a national sports radio show on NBA today, and they did a segment with Jamal Mashburn. It's called I Played, You Didn't. Remind me of the time when Jill Theismann put you in your place.
I Played, You Didn't.
Right.
Sounds like a great segment. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Okay.
Did it stop that show the way it did ours? I guess not.
Guess you don't have an answer for that.
We just did a segment called We Do Radio, Do You?
I Played, You Didn't.
Yeah. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Rob, I don't think that was Craig Karmazin.
Are you sure?
I don't think that was Mel's son. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hi there.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi.
Good. Hey, I just want to thank you guys. Last year, my 11-year-old daughter went through a liver transplant. It was a pretty tough time, and you guys kind of got me through my tough days there.
Oh, well, that is very nice.
And how is your daughter doing now?
I appreciate that.
Oh, she is doing stellar. She's
good.
You know, she went to Stanford, which is number one in the nation, you know, for the transplants, and she's back in sports, school, whole nine yards.
Gives you hope, doesn't it, Mike?
It does. Well, you know, being the only one on the show that can really identify with this procedure, I'm glad everything went well for her. And well, she's younger, and she obviously was ahead of the list.
Sure.
I remember
she was on. My name is a little further down.
I remember your second one went so much easier than your first.
Well, the first one was experimental technology way back when I was in my early 20s.
Didn't take.
The second one, though, is the second one they say will hold through probably 2011.
Thank you for the call. That's
no
very
worries.
Nice of it. We do appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you. And, Mike, I think it's very brave of you that you said to them, don't Mickey Mantle me.
Right.
If you remember,
well, he
right around the time that Mickey Mantle's liver gave out, coincidentally, a liver came up right away.
Yeah, well, the fact is, I had waited. I had been patient. I was really, really nice. I took the number. And, incidentally, the number you take is, if you ever go to the deli counter, it's that kind of number that you take. And, you know what one can do with a little Sharpie?
Yeah.
That helped me get number two. But number three, I think I'm already on the list, so I think I'll be okay with that.
Remember the first one he got from an intern.
Shh.
Full
Don't
college
tell
credit.
That story, please.
Full college credit.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It's fair.
Hello.
Yeah, I want to speak to Don and Mike.
Yeah. Hello there. You're on the air. What's happening?
Hey, I think Frenchie had I think she was doing photos for, like, big breast fetish and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
right
she
on.
Was working at a porn site.
Mommy boobies.
Topless picture.
So what would be different? Would a porn site be different than a nude club?
I don't think so. I think if he was working at the nude club now, they could stand up on their high horse and scream at him.
Right.
Otherwise, this has just got to be a blemish on an otherwise perfect resume.
Does it say where the nude club is? What town it's located in?
The address?
It's not close, is it?
Not close.
Because really, we could go find out.
Glendale, Arizona. That's the Phoenix. That's where the Super Bowl was.
Far away.
Glendale. Yeah.
Far away. Where it's warm.
Dick's Cabaret.
He had the kind of look that men like.
That is so true, Dick.
Isn't that what they've always said about us?
Yeah. Totally nude.
That's why you make good money.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Mike and Rob, what is happening?
Hi there, clever man.
How are you?
Oh, very well, thanks.
I have a question for Mr. Elston, if he is available.
I am available.
Clever again.
Hey, I need a little inside radio information.
Hey, well, I'll do what I can if it's
reasonable.
Radio
insider Buzz Elston.
That's right. You have an answer for Jason Smarmy?
Let's see how the question goes.
Yes. I've heard a few little ground rules, like I've heard Rob say, don't pop your peas and don't hold the phone to close your mouth. But I'm wondering why Grant Napier gets so upset when I call and ask him to adjust my mix minus. What is mix minus?
Now, this is a dude that's on After Us in Sacramento. When you call his show, does he actually ask you or do you ask him?
I ask him. I call in and I say, Grant, how's it going?
That drives him crazy when you bring up the mix minus?
You've got to adjust my mix minus. And I have no idea what it means, but it's hilarious.
Does it get him very angry?
Yeah, he hangs up.
Oh, good. Well, then keep doing it.
Plus, do you have any idea what the mix minus is?
That's what I'm calling about. What is mix minus?
It has something to do with the processing. It has something to do with how loud you're heard as opposed to everything else. And if it has a tinny quality, a lot of bass to it.
I have a question for the caller. Where did you get mix minus from? Before the professor jumps in with his answer, he's jumping to give you an answer.
I heard Grant say it one day when he was on the road broadcasting.
He probably said something like, "I got to fix the mix minus."
Uh-huh. Mix minus will make you sound tinny or bad. What it is technically, it's what's sent back to you on the phone. It's the entire mix of the show minus your voice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was on the road broadcasting from some other radio station, and
Thank you. Goodbye. Just hung up on you because I wanted to say I just figured out what it is with Rob when he steps up to speak about radio.
Yeah,
it's like if you were sitting in a room. I'm really gonna. This is really good. I'm just you and I just blown out of proportion. You're sitting in a room with Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron, and someone calls and says, "I got a question about radio, or I got a question about baseball." I'm sorry because I'm Babe, you're Hank, and Buzz, you're I don't know Hank Greenberg. Thanks.
All right.
Either way, someone calls and says, "I got a question about baseball," and Rob steps up and says, "Hey, I want to tell you the rules of baseball." First off, there are 9 guys on each team. Second off, 3 outs to an inning. An inning can be eternal.
And you're sitting at one of those long conference tables in a press conference setting, and that's kind of the way. And, you know, you get ready to answer the question, and all of a sudden,
before we go on.
And Buzz as well, but thank you, Rob.
Well, thank you.
Now we understand the mix minus.
There's the answer.
And we've heard it when we've been on the road before.
We've heard that term many times. Sure.
Knowledge is power.
All I know is that the equipment that we would use on the road would inevitably be stained with like Cheetos residue.
Yeah, awful.
Stain minus.
Stains and food. Food was always the priority.
Thank you, sir.
That was always. Don't understand why this isn't working. All I know is that my tuna salad is on the mix minus.
It wasn't always Wendell's fault.
No. I mean, we go back. We have a lot of engineers. We have an engineer that really, if we went on the air at like 5:30 in the morning, we had the engineer show up at 5:15 with donut.
Now, listen, really, Wendell had his faults.
Yes.
But as far as an engineer, mm-hmm. as far as knowing what he had to know, knowing what he had to know,
right.
Wendell was at the top of his field. The problem is Wendell was a gun owner.
And had a temper.
And Wendell was the owner of a lonely heart.
Yes, he was.
Right.
As Homer Simpson sang.
Wendell would have moments by himself that, he would drink and dial.
Yes.
You know, really, the character that Wendell would remind me of would be, if you've seen the movie Sideways, he's kind of like, he was kind of like the Paul Giamatti character.
You know,
yeah.
Paul Giamatti could play him in the
Oh, Paul Absolutely. Giamatti could be True. Wendell Hall in the
You
movies.
Give him a crew cut, and you give him Wendell's facial hair would go from goatee to just
right
mustache to beard, like day to day to day.
Scruffy.
And our engineer, the morning show engineer, Chip. Chip would be played by the guy.
The Amish
This is as obscure as it gets.
Right.
Do you know the movie Election?
Sure,
with Matthew Broderick and Reese Witherspoon.
Sure, I do.
When he gets busted at the end for fixing the election, the janitor that has no speaking part whatsoever, the janitor
Don't
that catches
enough.
Him. There's only one shot of this guy, but he would play that engineer.
Well, if he's Amish looking, and that's the beard that this guy used
yeah.
to have.
Yeah, this is true. Anybody who's Amish could play him, too.
All of our engineers have had their own quirks. Dan Ryson, what was the quirk with him?
He didn't travel with us as much as some of the other. As a matter of fact, Dan Ryson, I think, hired Wendell specifically to travel with us.
Dan had wrestling shoes.
Yeah, his Kevin Arnold look is what you always noted Dan for.
But yeah. Dan was a guy that didn't like to hit the road with us because he knew that he'd get in some trouble,
right.
Whereas Wendell just delighted in hitting the road with us.
Your greatest travel engineer was Daryl.
Daryl Nichols.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I disagree. I disagree with no offense to Daryl Porn Nichols. Mm-hmm. Wendell Hall was our greatest travel engineer ever, based simply on our trip to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
That was perhaps the greatest performance ever. He was so drunk.
Wendell was wonderful.
He was laughing so much that we really seriously thought that he was having some sort of attack.
He was gurgling and choking to death as he was laughing. And is it to Ybor City?
Yeah.
Where he would go from beer vendor to beer vendor, crisscrossing, and drinking beers at a feverish pace, and then got in the car, and we started doing our usual stick about barbecue, and Wendell's going, and then he met me in my hotel room at about 4:30 in the morning before we were going to leave on a very early flight, and he had a glass of Sambuca.
Mm-hmm. My best memory of Wendell Hall was when we were going through 1999 to 2000. But everybody thought there would be a crash.
Y2K.
And Wendell was the guy who had to sit out at the transmitter site.
Mm-hmm. Alone.
He was by himself, and like at 11:55, the phone rings.
This is New Year's Eve.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hello? Ah. Yes. Wendell! Wendell, how are you? Happy New Year. Maybe it is for you, sir.
He was great.
And this was after the new year had come in, and we knew everything was going to be fine.
Yeah, I take
that's
it back.
When Wendell began drinking in earnest.
I don't remember if he called it five after, five before. Did he call you that night as well? Who else? Did
I
he
wasn't
call?
Home. I wasn't home. I got home. Messages from him, but I never spoke to him.
He was all alone on his New Year's at the transmitter site.
Yeah,
lit by one.
They had
empty
him out
light
there
bulb.
Because the thought was, if everything in the world stopped with Y2K,
very cold out there,
they have Wendell Hall out of the transmitter site to keep things going.
Uh-huh. And once he determined it was okay, he began to ring in his New Year.
Yes. Yep, it started ringing up friends.
All there, out here.
I remember when he almost died coming back from Ybor City when he was gurgling.
Right, right.
Mike was saying, stop, stop, let the man breathe. And Don was saying, no, no, go on. Keep going. And everyone was fine.
Right.
Good. Barbecue truck was fine. The car was fine. The engineer was fine.
We had another one in the middle, a middle engineer, that the guy that...
Hey, you forget about the Chinaman.
Feely.
Feely.
Yeah, Feely, though, was never on the road with us.
No, but he was still a good trusted engineer type.
Mm-hmm. Who's the one that cried?
Oh, Matt Connor.
Good memory.
Matt Connor?
Yeah.
Good memory.
He had a host of... he was a good guy.
He had some issues.
Didn't Beth Ann make him cry?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's right. What happened. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened.
Right. Oh, and that's also the guy that was D-R-I-N-K-I-N-G.
Yeah, on
during,
the J-O-B.
During the D-A-Y.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And chewed a lot of G-U-M.
And ate a lot
to
of...
To C-O-V-E-R-I-T-U-P.
But
I recall garlic.
What?
I recall garlic. That was a good coverage mechanism.
Did he eat garlic?
G-A-R-L-I-C. Yes, he did. That went around as well.
He was there for a very brief period.
He would
of
come
time.
Back, and wouldn't the cover be? I've just had a very heavy Italian meal.
Always. He ate Italian every day.
Sure.
And now Tony is gone.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Right.
You know what?
Bacardi Limon.
Tony Diggs.
There he is, our man, Tony Diggs.
There is only Bear.
That's it. And he's good. He's great.
Great.
He's very
oh,
good.
He got his Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Tony.
Yeah,
sucks.
I hope that at least the company gave him the seat belt extender.
Kind words. That's it. Safe home.
That's right.
Well, we had to travel with Tony on occasion. It's embarrassing to go up and ask for that thing.
I understand.
Just give the man one.
He flew with us to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Ah. Remember, he told us how why he had to fly in first.
Mm-hmm.
Because
did you see the videotape of that plane in Hamburg, Germany? Tony was on the left side of that plane.
You mean the one that couldn't land because
the
of the
wing kept
the
brushing
wind.
The runway?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was.
Don't you remember?
He and Jeff were flying over for a conference.
Don't you remember how pleased he was?
They were over at a radio engineers conference in Hamburg, Germany, and unfortunately, a poor thinking stewardess put both of them on the left side of the plane,
seated them together,
right on the wing. And well, if you've seen the videotape,
it
speaks for itself. Really.
Almost tragic.
Yeah. Thank God for those quick thinking pilots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That were able to get the plane airborne again. But I'm sure it's all over YouTube. You know, just look for plane having trouble landing. They made some excuse up about wind shear.
Tony Diggs, who was our most recent chief engineer, loved the fact when we traveled with him, he had to stick it to the company. He had to get a first class ticket, and he had to get a first class ticket because he didn't fit in a regular seat.
Right.
Actually, it was Jeff, Tony, and it was not related because he wasn't going over there for the conference. He was going there for his vacation. Jim London was planning on having his vacation over there.
Hey, just to be fair, I should mention the time that we were all on a plane together.
Oh, yeah. One of the little birds?
And they asked me, Mike, and Rob to please
separate.
Stop sitting together.
Up in Maine, I remember.
Please separate.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, and I believe you said something. Why? You know, you were in the kind of your why? You know, really kind of like, pointedly asking. And she said, lift.
It's like
it little, was all about lift.
Little plane, three guys in the back having a good time, and I thought she was dicking us around.
Yeah, right.
It was the Portland International.
Didn't one of us have to move up to the front?
That was Robbie.
Robbie
went to the front, I think. I may have stayed in the back, and you maybe
got
to the
middle. Across.
Yeah.
Across from
zigzag.
You.
They put me in another flight.
They had actually Rob just sit up in the cockpit.
Right in the aisle, sir.
We need you to sit in the cockpit, and please rest your shoulder on the pilot's shoulder.
Not
just so
too
you, know, you know. We'll kid about other guys maybe having done this. We've really done this, though.
Yeah, we have been moved.
Yeah.
We have been moved.
A tremendous.
But there's nothing still. I mean, no matter how big you are, there's nothing like that middle seat.
Oh,
that
yeah.
middle seat. And isn't it worse that if you have the middle seat?
Sure. Because
you get to look at the other people who happen to be probably thin.
Awful. It's the worst.
And you see, you know, it's like, okay, this is my seat. And you get a lot of the, oh, great.
Dread.
I read an article that said etiquette is that if you're in the middle seat, you have the two armrests.
Supposedly, that's the rule. Yes, that's etiquette.
If you have the middle seat, you are entitled to the two armrests.
You can get that fight in the movies, too, with people. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're in a movie theater that's crowded, a lot of times people will say, hey, what they say without speaking is, take the armrest to your left. The one to the right is for me. You've got one on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you're like me, you're right-handed. And I always get in a battle if I happen to be sitting next to a guy. Mm-hmm. It's that thing where you put your elbow there, and you take it away for a moment, and his elbow's there.
I always, if I get the middle seat, if I'm on a big plane, and I've got to one of those situations where you sit in the middle, and it's the third seat in the middle, I always like to establish myself. As soon as I sit down between the two people, I begin to floss.
Elbows
I
out.
Floss vigorously.
And I saw the new thing that TSA is coming up with. They're starting this in Denver and Salt Lake.
Yeah.
New way to speed things up, where you've got the one lane for families,
right,
and you've got the one lane for people who are just regular people, and you've got another lane for super busy business people.
With their special card?
Black
nope.
Diamond.
This is people with no special cards or anything. Huh. This is simply, when you get there, you decide, are you a seasoned traveler? Can you go through this process in like 2 minutes? Do you have no crap with you?
Right.
Go through this line. If you're a regular guy and you've got some crap, go through this line. If you've got kids, if you've got a lot of junk,
you don't know what you're doing.
Go through this line.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. I think
kind of like that.
I think it will fail miserably.
I think there'll be fist fights.
Because I think once people see I'm going to rank them like this. Once dumb people see the smart person's line,
right,
they want to go through that line.
Of course.
But you can't bring a kid up to the business travel.
No, you couldn't. But for instance, they should.
They're also coming up with the ID cards that'll be able to whisk you through. You're pre-cleared with security.
Right. Mm-hmm. But this one, they showed people, it was not a hidden camera thing, but they're trying, it was just on the news this morning, where they said, and what kind of person gets into the Black Diamond, which is the strictly business traveler?
Right.
What it means is, and
person
they had,
with skis.
And they had this guy get up there, and she opens up his bag, and she says right away, she says, well, you don't have everything in baggies.
Right.
And she presses a button, and they come and they take the guy away. And not like TSA, but they just say, you got to go to that line.
Yeah. You got to go to the dumb line.
The bad line.
You got to go to the other line. And the guy was actually not lippy, but he was like, hey, what's the problem? I'm not carrying anything. And the lady pointed to the sign, you know, that basically says, if you know absolutely all the rules and you're ready to have a guy give you a test for prostate cancer, you should be in this line. Take your shoes off. Take your coat off. Mm-hmm. Take everything out of your pockets. If you've got it together, and I don't think that we have it together enough to make this system work.
I was removed from a line. It wasn't a specialty line.
It's a good idea. I just don't have faith in Americans.
You just have to be careful what you take and you carry on. And they removed me from the line, moved me over.
What'd you have?
A hedge trimmer.
Oh, that's bad.
Well, you know, I had some work to do. Well, I wasn't going to buy a new one when I got up there, but that was it. Into the trash it went.
Yeah. You still had people showing up at this news report today with the whole thing where they're screaming at people over the intercom, don't forget 333, you know, or whatever the code is for like 3 ounces of something in a baggie that they can see, and you can't bring on all this other crap. And you've got people that were wandering into the smart line, and they were saying to them, 333? And people were looking at them like, what? Nanu, nanu?
Right.
Do I say a word and does a garage door open up? What's happening here?
You would think that they would figure out a way to make it a little easier. I still like the new machine that, you know, shoots the air on you. I like that one better than the regular machine. I think it's more thorough.
It should be like a Total Recall.
Mm-hmm.
Where you just walk through that thing and it like does an x-ray of your body. And because we're looking for bombs and stuff like that.
Right. Or at least they can x-ray your shoes. They can check your shoes and you don't have to take them off.
See, I would think by now that shoe bombing is passe.
No, I still think that's probably one of the primary ways they try to sneak something in, you know, because they're very, very careful about that.
You can't let down your guard.
Didn't they say they got something through in somebody's shoes recently? When they were doing one of the checks, they did that. They're always getting stuff through.
I don't know, and I pity the people that were in the family line, and because it was the family line, there were people that literally were camping out and thinking.
Is there an elderly line? I mean, really? They should have that at the airport and at the Giant Food across the way.
But they had these people, and I guess they should be in a special line because it was a mom and a dad, about 3 kids, and they had all of the accoutrements that go with.
Sure.
And the mom was laying everything out saying, normally when we do this in line, people behind us are saying, hurry up, move it along. This is so nice and so refreshing.
Yes, I can move at my own snail's pace. Others!
Do you want a juice box, Billy, before we go through security?
Right. Sure. And the rule of thumb for me is, you begin to remove your item before you get to the table.
Yeah.
You can slowly start with your belt. You can start with your jacket. You prepare yourself so that you can do it as you're moving, unlike the lady with the laptop that was in front of me that decided she was going to take everything off, and including her phenomenal amount of jewelry.
Phenomenal.
As she was sitting at the very front of the line. That's others. That's just taking people's feelings into account and their time and everything else. That's what you do. Another thing I heard is it's very, very dangerous in these lines there are plenty of ripoff artists, too. So keep your eyes on your stuff. Yeah. It happens all the time. Because you know what? The TSA, once they get you through, once they're making sure you don't have anything that's going to blow up an airplane,
right.
They're not like, it's not like they're being the police of the world.
No, you're on
so
your
you
own.
Can sit there casually, and all of a sudden, a nice watch goes by, and you see it in the bin. Okay, got my shoes in. And then you're, bingo, you're in the crowd, and nobody can find you.
That's right.
Be very, very aware of that.
You know, as you mentioned, that's too easy. I mean, how many times have you been at an airport and there's just a bin with some guy's stuff sitting there?
And you are at the mercy of the person in front of you. Mm-hmm. As soon as you put it on that conveyor belt, if you've got some fat ass that's in front of you that's actually not going through security properly, they take him over. You're waiting. Meanwhile, your stuff is sitting there at the end of the conveyor with a Johnny Thief who's going to reach in there and take it. It happens all the time.
Right.
And there's really, there's not a hell of a lot you can do in that situation other than maybe try to keep your eyes on the person that's up front there. Even if that was to happen, would you say, hey, that's the guy that stole my stuff?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you saw your stuff going through the x-ray thing and it got to the end and some guy was picking up your watch, wouldn't you go, hey, hello, yo.
It very difficult to prove it, very difficult to find it. Because you know what it's
Man,
like?
It's the perfect crime because you could get away. Let's say you're the guy stealing the watch. You go, oh, my goodness, did I do? I didn't mean it. It's so confusing.
Well, they're grifters also. Sure. They're just like any other pickpockets. You think that guy's going to still have your watch after he picks it? No, he's going to give it to his buddy who's probably been in the airport for about 15, 20 minutes ahead of him.
Man, you'd be a good grifter.
Or a good cop.
Well, I hang around cops.
I know.
Well,
yeah, I heard. Yeah.
They have to have a boarding pass to get to that side, though.
Yes, they do.
So they'd have to buy an airplane ticket in order to steal it.
And they probably do. But, I mean, it happens a lot. That is the number one issue that the crime in airports now is people ripping off stuff.
You buy a $99 ticket to nowhere, and pickpockets all day.
It's probably better if you've got expensive stuff that you're not carrying it on you, that you put it in the bag, right, or you know, or you do that. But they're taking loose items like you know, jewelry and watches and stuff like that.
Stacks of cash.
And you know, I always try. You know, I'm naked without cash.
loose diamonds.
Do you have your brackets?
I do, Don.
If we start the Saturday Night Live thing now, we actually could get it done on today's show.
That's a good idea.
To come up with the top 32 of all time Saturday Night Live and break it down to the one most talented cast member ever.
Break it down.
Break it down.
Break it down.
Break it down.
I love when you get jiggy, Buzz.
I know.
That's why Buzz always takes his upper plate with all the gold fillings in it when he goes through.
It, trust no one.
He looks a little silly for a while, but, you know, it's worth it.
Trust no one.
Big necklace.
He takes his big necklace and his upper plate with the gold fillings, and he puts it between two pillows.
Don't forget, if you're in Glendale, Arizona,
yes,
make it Dick's Cabaret.
That's right.
Remember, what's his name? What was it, Rodriguez? Was that the guy's name?
Hernandez. David Hernandez. Mm-hmm. He has the look and the type that men like.
Men like.
He made good money from me.
He's a good earner.
Men like him. Women want to be him.
Okay, we got a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.